Hey, what's up, everyone? It's Reality Rehap-Ups. I'm Jessica Leese, and it's been way, way, way too long since you guys have heard my voice, and I have missed you all so terribly. We are here talking about the upcoming Amazing Race Season 29, which starts this Thursday at the ungodly hour of 10 p.m., 9 Central, and with me to break down everything that we're expecting out of the season and talk about the cast are the two guys I could not talk about Amazing Race and leave them out of it. And I know you're all panicking right now, like, where's Rob? Where's Rob? Rob will be here to cover the regular season, but to get you guys all started, my two favorite Amazing Race guys, I got Mr. Dan Heaton and Mr. Mike Bloom. Gentlemen, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jess. It's fun to talk about the Amazing Race, even in a crazy format.
And I love talking with you guys, but I feel like we wouldn't truly be in line with this theme if we didn't know each other. So I kind of wish I was talking to two complete strangers, but I will definitely settle for two huge Amazing Race fans and co-patriots.
Yeah, I guess I should have just like picked a random stranger off the street and forced them to talk about the Amazing Race with me. And they'd probably be like, what are you even talking about? I don't even own a TV.
That show's still on?
Yeah.
Though, to be fair, a lot of Amazing Race fans were asking that show still on up until a couple months ago.
Yeah, the show kind of wasn't on. We took a fall season off, which actually worked out very, very well for me. I didn't have to take a break from anything. I had originally planned out with Rob, we were going to take the whole season off and I was going to go have a baby and come back in the spring. And then Amazing Race just kind of never happened.
Yeah, and this is something that we've faced before a bit, right? I believe it was after All Stars, before season 12, that was the whole Viva Laughlin thing. And so for a while, I know that Amazing Race 29 was in the can. We weren't sure when it was going to air. I think we find out last month or earlier on this month that it was going to air on April 21st with a big 2-hour episode. But because of the failure of the TV reboot of Training Day, it got very promptly rescheduled to, as you said, this Thursday at the Thursday night 10 o'clock slot. I'm not entirely sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing, considering that I've seen a good amount of promo hurry up press leading into Amazing Race. But I don't know. It seems like with them sliding things up almost a month and not really informing the fans that much outside of TV commercials, it doesn't spell too well for the Amazing Race's outcomes outside of season 29.
Well, this has never been a show that they've ever cared about all that much because it's relatively cheap to make and they usually have it in the can well before they're supposed to air it. And I think I'm going to guess Bill Paxton's death kind of caught everybody off guard.
Yeah, I think that this was a last minute switch, but it does get the feeling that they just sort of dumping it because Friday night was not a great spot for it. But Thursday at 9, it's a very odd position. I thought after watching the promos that MacGyver would be like Viva Laughlin and would just fail. And amazingly, apparently people were into it enough where it pushed back the Amazing Race. But I would love the idea of them somehow doing one more like season 30 Legends All Stars. But to me, the odds are really low at this point.
Yeah, I think we kind of have to face facts. And, you know, I have said this probably prior to half of the seasons I have covered for RHAP. Like, we've gone into the season, I've looked at it and I've said, well, it's been real nice covering it for you, but I'm going to go ahead and say this is probably the last time I'm going to be speaking to you guys on a cast preview. But this time, I think there's really not much more they could do to the show and still technically have it be airing. Like, I think the next step, if they don't kill it entirely, if this is not their actual swan song of Amazing Race, they could bump it to CBS All Access, but there's really not much more disgrace you can get with the show.
What if they bring back CBS InnerTube and put it on there like they did? I feel like Pirate Master might be the worst scourge on the CBS reality scene, considering that like halfway through that season's run, they decided to switch it to an online only streaming service back when that wasn't a thing. That being said, we still have a season ahead of us. We have an interesting cast ahead of us and a very, very interesting casting twist ahead of us as well.
Yeah, I have to say, this sounds like one of those things that Jeff Probst's people on the street came up with.
It's interesting because, you know, you see the interview where Phil is saying, well, we have a lot of people who say they don't have a partner, so we thought this would work great. But when you hear the interviews with the cast, they all say, I wanted to do this with my husband, but then I found out it was one person. So I don't totally buy that. I think in the beginning, it could be really interesting. But I wonder, you know, we've seen this a few times on All-Star seasons. Well, the big Mark and Mallory kind of disaster. But this, I think, will be interesting for a while, but it seems pretty desperate. Of course, I said this about the social media season. I said this about the blind date season, that they seem desperate. And they ended up just kind of being seasons of The Amazing Race. So maybe this will just be a season of The Amazing Race with some people we like and some people we don't. So you never know.
Well, I'm of two minds personally. One is, if we're looking to the actual credo of The Amazing Race proper, which is, you know, two teams of people with pre-existing relationships being the key phrase there, for all intents and purposes, this is not The Amazing Race. This is essentially, let's take two random people, pair them together. This is, you know, accelerated kicking and screaming, but on a global scale. I know a show that Jess is a big fan of and covers quite well on previously.tv. So from that aspect, it really betrays the central concept. That being said, as reality TV fans, we're aware of times when shows have broken its core mold. I mean, we're all big Survivor fans. We can look to many moments when Survivor has said, hey, you know what? You're voted off until you're not really voted off. And you go to a special island where you're able to battle your way back in the game. You're complete strangers unless you're playing a game with your loved one and you have the ability to switch with someone on that island that we talked about where you can get voted off and still stay in the game. I'm sort of taking the mentality with reality TV, especially nowadays when big twists get thrown out into the news and in our faces, to sort of wait and see what happens. This does sound kind of like a sacrilegious concept on paper, and it betrays every credo that The Amazing Race is against. But like you said, Dan, this is a territory that we've traipsed before. The blind date season had half the teams as singles. And you could argue that probably the best cast people on that season were the blind date couples over the regular couples. So I feel like there's something in there that could work. I can't necessarily say that this is what The Amazing Race is all about, but if we're in the business of making good TV, I think there's a possibility to do that.
Well, I think more than whether or not it betrays a format, I have to think the logistics of this are going to be much more challenging to the viewer. Because I'm thinking back in the days where all of the teams were just people that knew each other, it was hard enough to keep 11 teams straight. And there's always that one team you're forgetting. And every team still had that catchy thing, like they were the cheerleaders or the Cowboys or the Harlem Globetrotters or, you know, the Doctors. And they wore matching clothes. They knew each other. Your brain only had to reserve 11 slots to keep all your teams straight. And that was hard enough. And this time your brain has to reserve 22 slots. And you really aren't afforded the luxury of not having to know which one is Jamie and which one is Kara, you know?
Oh my goodness. I'm glad I'm not writing a blog about this or something podcasting every week about this, because this is going to be a challenge. Because even when they put it on the screen, they could say the Ice Kebabes or something silly. Instead, now they have to say the policeman and the butcher and the motivational speaker and the other police person and
worst
the canine police
people
person.
Ever.
Yeah, it's like this odd collection of people are the dancer, the artist, and I'm going to be like, I do not know who that is. Now, granted, there are a variety of cast members, but you do have a lot of people that are really strong and are wearing muscle shirts. So it's going to be tricky to figure out everybody right away. Now, about the twist, though, you know, I think I've been worn down by it because I made a very passionate plea when Mike and I subbed in when the season 28 twist came about social media, about how I didn't like that. And now I'm kind of like, nah. Well, it's fun. I don't know. I think I've been worn down and I'm just like excited to see the show.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm the most old school person, as we saw during our season's ranking. But I don't know. I'm kind of intrigued to see what happens, even though I agree, Mike, that it goes against the way the show was.
Well, it was something that I said when we were watching the blind date season. It's really like all of them should be blind dates or none of them should. And dating is pretty much the least interesting thing. So, yeah, maybe they were listening to me and they got it. You know, this is what the end product of that was.
You screwed us all, Jess.
It's my fault. It's always my fault.
Well, it was a half measure. So now it's like at least they're going the full measure because, yeah. And now hopefully Phil doesn't have to keep saying, how in love are you to all the teams? So that makes me really happy.
Oh, no, no. You know that if there's any male-female pairings of single people on the race, they're going to try to hype that love angle as much as they can. Because one of the things that they do like about the teams on the race and one reason why they went for the blind date edition are these couples. I will say, you know, as sort of mixed as I am on the twist, one thing I will miss are these teams that come into the Amazing Race preordained with sort of things they want to accomplish. Like one big example I can think of is like, we won't be able to get like a Ron and Christina, for example, where they go into the race and like, he's a bit of a hard ass. She really wants to prove herself to her dad. Because we have two people who don't know each other coming in, they might need to, you know, figure things out based on first impressions, but we're no longer going to have a pre-existing relationship coming in that will necessitate certain drama going into the race itself.
Yeah. They're not going to have to decide whether to be, to continue to be in a relationship after the race. Mm. There's no stakes there.
Yeah, that's a great point because some of my favorite teams on this and some of the international versions have lately have been like parent-child teams. And there's none of that. Or even teams that, you know, I don't like the bickering couples, but there is something sometimes you can find interesting about where the relationship is. Not all the time, but sometimes this, it's all going to be about, do they get along? Do they like each other? How are they? It's going to all be that way, which could be interesting or it could be not interesting. Yeah, it could be Blaylee or not.
Yeah, I think that's the question is, do we have a Blaylee among this group? And if we don't, then this season's going to suck. And if we do, then it might not be so bad.
I think there are some interesting personalities and we'll certainly talk about all 22 of them. But I do think if they were casting for singles, and this is, again, why I feel like the blind date couples might have been more interesting than the dating proper couples themselves. If they're casting for singles, they cast some very interesting people. One thing I want to ask you two, and not to get too much into spoiler territory, but I know it was announced that in order to pick these teams are not preordained, not picked by production. They're picking each other through some sort of challenge. I don't know if we know exactly what that is yet. You know, I know going into the Amazing Race, casting does a really nice job of sort of balancing things out between, you know, your aggro male teams, your athletic female teams, and a bunch of male female teams in between. Do you think we're going to sort of throw things out of whack and letting the players pick each other to create teams?
They've got to have some kind of rule in place for that, because I think there is a certain personality type. And I think we're going to, as we get into the cast and we talk about this, we're going to see there's a lot of people that are this personality type. If I'm in this and I am like a super meathead and I win the challenge and I get to pick first, I'm going to have a really hard time not picking the person that finished right behind me.
Right. Or they're going, you know, it's tricky because I look at this cast. It's a weird. I mean, normally they balance it out. You've got some really strong people, like physically strong, some smart fans. You've got, you know, the heartwarming teams here. I look at it and there's a few people that kind of fit the, I hate to say smart fans because that's not fair. But and then you have some people that are very good looking, conventionally attractive. And then you have a lot of people that look like they just go to the gym and lift weights all the time. Mm-hmm. And I feel like more than any other season. And I'm like, I have a feeling it's going to be kind of a little bit like season 6, where they did a lot more like really physically active challenges. But then there's a few people you go, man, that guy, I don't know. So it's weird. They're not going to know this, who they pick, but I think people are going to look, unless they're just trying to do a romance, they're just going to look for someone who's super strong. And you're going to have these beefy groups together. And then, I don't know, there's going to be some weird pairings, I have a feeling.
Well, I think that's what they're hoping for. They're hoping to get people that are completely different. And I think this goes back to what I had hoped for out of the blind date season. Like, they got an accidental pairing like this when they ended up with Blaylee. But really, if I was casting Amazing Race blind date, I would cast people that I did not think would fall in love. I would cast the most wildly different folks that I could come up with. Like people that have nothing in common just to see what happens. And that's the kind of teams, like, I'm going to be rooting for these teams. And I'm also just going to be sitting there with the popcorn.
Mm-hmm. I, I'm hoping that the way they do the challenge is if they do some sort of, I don't know, whether it be an obstacle course or some sort of gauntlet, what have you. And then I would hope the first 11 that get to finish would pick from among the other 11 their partners. Because I do agree, Jess, there would be some weird thing where if they were just able to pick whoever they want to, the first place would pick the second person, third person, the fourth person, etc. I think that might be the fairest way to do that. That way you're sort of dividing the 11 strongest, and by strongest you put in quotations because it's just one challenge, but the 11 biggest finishers equally amongst the 11 weaker finishers.
Yeah, I think it kind of eliminates that, like, just looking out onto the field and like letting the game decide for you. I'm thinking about specifically the pilot of Kicking and Streaming, where they had to choose somebody to go into the elimination round, and they're like, well, we'll just choose whoever came in second to last, and then it's done. Yeah. I'm like, there's no dramatic tension there. That was not fun.
Yes, and hopefully this will be the last comparison you get to draw to Kicking and Screaming throughout your coverage of The Amazing Race 29. I'm still enjoying it for the catastrophe that it is, but I still think The Amazing Race is a much higher quality show.
It's definitely much higher quality, and it's not even, I guess you get 29 seasons into something and it's got to not suck, but yeah, man, Kicking and Screaming is kind of brutal. I'm still watching it. I'm not getting paid to, but I'm still sort of watching it.
If we brought Maxwell over onto Amazing Race, I feel like he would kill, though. I don't know how many legs he'd make it, but he's just a soundbite machine.
Maxwell's the best.
Like, he's the best.
He's saving that show from being a total catastrophe. All right. So the way that we're going to set this up, because we have 22 people to get through, that's a lot of talking. And, you know, we try to schedule these podcasts whenever we can get time. So we want to make sure that we're not wasting anybody's time or drawing anything out. So we were talking about before the season started how we wanted to format this cast preview. And we decided we're going to do a little draft like Rob and I did last season, if you guys can remember that far back. But since, you know, since Rob's not here, I thought it'd be better to do it with three people. And it would be a little more fun that way, because then, you know, if there's two people doing a draft like this, you run the risk of everybody picking, like, we pick it, like, right down the middle, and all of a sudden, Rob and I each have half the players, and we end up having, like, one person from each team. I'm sure statistically the probability of that happening is not very high, but if the three of us do a draft, we eliminate that risk, and with 22 people, that means we each get 7 people on our team, and one person remains undrafted.
So, that'll be Rob's.
Yeah, that person can be Team Rob, just like we let the undrafted team be Team Mike Bloom last time.
Yeah, listen, Scott and what was it, Scott and Blair?
Yep.
They made it a lot farther than we initially thought. So I thought for a second I might take it, but then I was very quickly shifted back to reality.
That would have been amazing. I would have loved that. So the way we're going to do this as a standard snake draft. And then as we draft people, we'll go through, and whenever somebody's drafted, we can talk about what we all think of that person and whether we think that's a good pick or a bad pick. So I can run a random number generator very quickly to decide who's going first here. Mike, you're number 1. Dan, you're number 2. I'm number 3. We're going to generate a random number. Oh, what do you know? Mike Bloom, you are going first.
Yes. No.
So we'll do it snake draft style. So Mike, then Dan, then I'll pick twice, goes back to Dan, and then to Mike. So go ahead, Mike, whenever you're ready to name your first pick out of these 22 people.
I am so happy I'm getting the number 1 pick. And again, I have no idea if you guys think this is the number 1 pick, but I think this person is number 1 with a bullet for me. As soon as I read their bio and saw their video, I know when someone goes into The Amazing Race and they call themselves the complete package, I get a little nervous, but this is someone that I truly believe is the complete package and will kick butt on this season of The Amazing Race. Give me, for the number 1 pick, Mr. Scotty with the body, Scott Flannery, as my number 1 pick.
Oh, geez.
Wow.
You know, I had him really low, and it's not because I necessarily think he's going to do badly. It's just like he rubbed me the wrong way. He's like, might be the smarmiest person they've ever cast on this show.
Absolutely. But I feel like he's smarmy for a reason. I initially was turned off about his personality as well, but I feel like he has the goods to back it up. I mean, he talks about, you know, being smart. He came from an Ivy League education. The strength, he's a CrossFit person. In terms of adaptability, he is a certified scuba diver, a licensed pilot. He can pilot a lifeboat off of a cruise ship. He is also speaking a lot towards the social game. He's saying, I want to be with somebody who will not U-turn us. So he's clearly not thinking ahead just to the race itself, which is good. I feel like there are some people that are very, you know, putting the blinders on in terms of focusing on the tasks themselves. And he's a super fan. I think he's got a lot of skills in his tool belt. The question is, will he be able to sort of tamper his attitude, especially partner with another person? That remains to be seen. But if we're looking like sight unseen as to partner, someone who has the best skills entering the race, Scott is number one for me.
It's interesting. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Dan.
It's interesting because I had him ranked kind of low, but I also think I think that I look and I go, oh, that guy, he tells us how great he is. And he does have some skills. But I look at this guy and I think, I mean, he may be pulling like a Spencer Bledsoe from Survivor and playing it up to say how great he is, because he's doing it with a smile and he may do very well. However, he does say he's afraid of heights. Now, granted, plenty of amazing race people have been afraid of heights and done very well. The show loves people like that because then they can set him up for commercials. I think he could be very solid. I don't think any team that he's on is going out first. Something about him made me think, I'm happy that you picked him though. Really, I am, because I don't know. He comes across as this kind of, I think he's going to have fun. I think he may be a fun character to kind of root against a little bit, but I don't know, with all the strong physical players, I'm not sure he's that far ahead, though he does have more fandom, I think.
He doesn't have the lifelong fitness guy thing. And I think maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's a bad thing. He says that he was not in good shape and then he discovered CrossFit. And, you know, cult members, I don't know how they do on Amazing Race, but it seems like this is something like he has undergone a kind of a physical transformation, and it may end up being that he's still that kind of insecure guy deep down, and that might come out to play too.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. Not the 20s are the biggest proponents of CrossFit that I know, and outside of their stint in Amazing Race 24, they've done pretty well on reality shows. So we'll see how much the cult of CrossFit is really going to. I think he's athletic enough, and I think we'll see that there are some people in this cast who are very smart, but certainly not athletic enough, and I feel like Scott is able to at least hold his own in both of those categories. So that being said, I am fully prepared for Scott to crash and burn here. But again, if we're going purely off of what they've been provided to us, I do agree, Dan, he's doing a lot of talk about how skilled he is. But I mean, I got to take things at face value for now.
Yeah. And I will say one thing, that the show put the words up next to what he was saying as he put it up there. So I think the show is, the fact that they are like having fun with him in his pre-video means that he may be around a while too. I hate to read too much into that, but they usually aren't going to make that big of a deal if he's going to crash and burn early. So we'll see. Should I pick mine now?
Go ahead.
Go right ahead.
All right. Man. So I go to the Jessica Lee school of picking, and I try to pick people that seem really boring in their videos.
Oh, boo.
Because I've learned that sometimes they end up being really like really good characters, but I've done much better since I stopped picking the fans. Whenever I pick fans, I'm always just doomed. And this guy actually, I think, is also very physically fit. He meets the standards of success with agility. I'm picking snowboarder Matt Ladley.
Oh,
because he seems very boring, but he's very down to earth. He does not seem to have a big ego. He's a snowboarder. I think those skills work better than weightlifting for many Amazing Race challenges. I think he's adventurous. He's going to be in it for the adventure. He's not going to freak out if his partner's not perfect. When I saw them, this guy jumped out as down to earth, boring finalist to me.
Yeah, I could see that. He does seem like he seems very easygoing. I think the sense I got from him was that he's been a lot of places. I don't think traveling's going to scare him. Actually, I don't think anything's really going to get to him, and that's...
No, the only thing that he said scares him is getting sucked into the toilet on an airplane.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing about this guy. I'm trying to think about how to put this in a way that is diplomatic, but I think he has really high dexterity and strength skills. Like, I think those stats are very high. I think his INT score might be slightly below those.
No. I know. I think I might have overemphasized his agility, because that's what I saw in the video. I took it more as being boring. I'm hoping it doesn't mean boring and dumb, because if you're boring and dumb, that's a problem.
Yes. I mean, Snowbro seems, as you said, very innocuous. He was in the middle of my list just because I think he seems like he's fine at everything, and he seems like he's going to be a very easygoing partner, which I think we need to take into account as well as how well these people will work with each other. I have no idea how much, if he has any like marketable skills outside of maybe balance that are going to translate to the Amazing Race. I keep thinking back to the dancing tasks, because how many dancing tasks did we have in Amazing Race 28? Like 3 or 4, right? Which was ridiculous considering we had a pair of professional dancers on the race, but not to tangentialize too much. I'll be interested to see exactly what specialized skills he'll be able to bring to the race, but he seems like a fine enough personality. I don't know if he'd be a number one pick for me, but again, I can't speak too much considering that I picked someone that apparently you both had low on your list. So,
well, yeah, it was close.
In fairness, I had Matt a little bit lower than Scott on my list.
Yes.
Oh, now I feel even dumber. You know, this is going to be a rough draft.
We're just going to wait until the end of this and see how things shake out. That's the fun thing about this as well, and I love about previews, is that we're going to be probably 100% wrong about each and every one of these people.
It's true. I'm thinking back to the actual blind date season, and Rob and I were doing our cast preview, and all I had seen of it, I'd seen like the cast preview videos where everyone was really innocuous. And then I saw one season preview where there was like 5 seconds of a blonde woman screaming at her partner, "I'm always right and you never listen." And I was like, oh my God, that's Laura. Laura and Tyler are going to be the screaming couple of the season. And so I based all of my stuff on, I said, Blair and Haley are the boring ones. They're going to win. I based everything off of like misidentifying the blonde woman in 5 seconds of the season preview. And I would have been completely right if I had, you know, taken a few more seconds to positively identify who it was in the video. So,
all right, you got the next two picks, Lise.
I got the next two picks, and I'm excited that I get both of my top two picks, because these are people that really jumped out at me as being like, maybe, like, not only good competitors, but I think they're also going to be fun TV. So I'm going to take with my number one pick, I'm going to take Seth.
Yeah.
Seth is the super jacked, sort of John Cena looking police officer out of Seattle. And he stuck out at me for a few reasons. The first thing is that he seems like he's super jacked. And he's very, very self-aware. Like, he was kind of self-deprecating in his conversations. And also, this is something I want to bring up with you guys, because I think it's going to come up a lot. In their preview videos, a lot of these people reference things that had happened on previous seasons. And I think it's not always clear which people are actually super fans and which people were given a few DVDs by CBS after they applied for Survivor. And CBS was like, nah, I think we'd rather have you on this other show. So my thought on Seth is that I think this guy is a stealth nerd.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he really does watch the show. I think he probably watches the show a little too hard. He might be watching the show at like Green Team Justin levels of watching the show.
I had him number two on my list, and I almost flipped it right before I spoke. And then right after I picked Matt and you guys get in trouble, I was like, I know Seth's going to be gone next.
Yeah, Seth was like number five for me. I think he has a lot of interesting skills as well. He said he grew up on a farm, so he can handle animals, which we know are going to be at least one of the tasks that they're going to have to face. He's rode a police motorcycle for 8 years, so he's pretty good at balance. The one thing I did see was that he's looking for a partner who's a pretty good dancer. And if we're going with my theory that there's going to be some dance tasks in there, if he doesn't have a partner who's a good dancer, he might be in a little bit of trouble.
He might. But I think the fact that he thinks about this, like when they asked him, what are you not going to be good at? The fact that he came up with this answer means he's thought it out and he knows what's coming. And I think
there are a lot of teams that wouldn't even know to say that. So I'm giving him points for saying that. And I'm also giving him points for really loving trains.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Yeah. And I think especially if they're trying to, like, I hate to hook these, some of these couples up, of course they're going to have dance tests too, because they want to put him in weird costumes and go through the whole thing. So I really like him. He seems really down to earth and, but not boring. And I say this, and he was number two, because I'm not looking for an all boring team, but I get the impression he could get along with almost anybody. And I think that's really important this season, to have somebody who's flexible and is not expecting, oh, I want one of these three others that are type A like me. I think he could get along with most of the other players, and that's huge.
Yeah, I'm very pleased with my pick then. All right, so then I, in the true snake draft fashion, I get to go again. And I'm also excited to pick this person because I'm sure she was high on your list as well, because she really jumped out at me from like every preview I saw. I'm going to go with Olive, the firefighter out of Providence.
Mm.
You're killing me, Jess. You're killing me.
Yeah.
Huh. You two are in lockstep. I'm not so much with you guys.
Well, Olive, I didn't have Matt.
That's true. Olive, I had actually right below Matt. I think she's very physically adept, which obviously is great. And you were talking before about the brute strength. And I think that will pay off, especially from a female perspective. And we don't often see that many, you know, really jacked females on The Amazing Race, that we see quite a few this season. For me, the one detractor that I had was her talking about how she is a self-proclaimed maniac and can go like 100 miles per hour. So in terms of like an interpersonal thing, I'm not entirely seeing it. I could see her totally be in like the screaming team, like, no, we're doing this my way, let's go. But that being said, I think her positives much really outweigh her negatives.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have.
Go ahead, Dan.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I have to agree that the way I looked at it is she also had this kind of quiet confidence, which you see among people that do well, people that come in and say, I'm so good, I'm the greatest, I could kill every challenge. And she just kind of walks in. I'm not referring to anyone in particular. Maybe. She just walked in as kind of like, yeah, I'm strong, I'm good. I mean, she does have a little bit where she's, I think she's not somebody who's going to get along with every partner. So I think she's a little more based on what partner she gets. I think she's going to have less tolerance for someone who's doesn't have that same confidence. But I looked at her and I thought that's somebody who's strong and doesn't seem to have as much to prove. So she was my number three.
Yeah. And I want to add one more thing that Olive's got going for her. And that is, she is from a city that has historically produced some very successful teams on The Amazing Race. Hailing from Providence, we have both, we have Louis and Michael, and we also have the season 23 champs, Jason and Amy. So, you know, Providence has a pretty good track record. If we want to go further afield, we've also got a Big Brother champion out of Providence. So I think Rhode Island is a state that produces some pretty successful reality contestants. And so if we want to put that as a point in her favor, you know, Providence Olive might come out, but she's also, you know, she's got a long tradition ahead behind her.
What's in the water in Providence?
I don't know, man. So anyway, that's my number two pick. And it's back to you, Dan, for the next pick.
See, you guys have me out now questioning all, though my number two and three were picked by Jess. So I do feel like I had the right list. But now I look at my next few and I'm like, I don't know, man, I guess I got to stick with what I was thinking. You know, first thoughts. I am going to go with someone who, I don't know, in his video, he talked about how he really likes the numbers because couples win a lot. And I was kind of like, really? That's a very weird thing to say. But I'm going to pick him anyway because I feel like he seems to have a good personality and strong. And that is Shamir Arzino is who I'm going to pick as my second one. He, I know I'm probably confusing you all again. You know, he's 28, which he's a little bit older, which I think is important. I think that he's strong, but not like this giant weightlifter. I mean, he's pretty big, but not like some of them. I don't know. I just got a good vibe from him, basically, in terms of he's done some things in life. He may not be doing a ton of traveling, I think, so far from what he said. But I don't know. I get the impression that he's going to take the right attitude and have fun on the show. And that also helps when things start to get stressful. So,
I mean, if you're going with another boring person, I think you're par for the course, Dad. Shamir is definitely one that unfortunately did not stand out to me, despite him hailing from probably like 50 blocks north of Jess and I. The one thing that stuck out for me is he said he was not very outdoorsy, which definitely doesn't work on Survivor. Sometimes doesn't work on Amazing Race when you're considerably basically like roughing it sometimes. So we'll see exactly how, you know, travel fatigue grows on him. He seems athletic enough. I think he said he's like a competitive bodybuilder and a power lifter outside of his job as a banking firm associate. And like you said, it seems that he's really trying to game the system. I mean, Olive and Matt are like right in the row for me, right in the middle. So you guys seem to be picking stuff right out from the middle of the Jenga tower. That seems to be my ranking system at this point.
Well, the hilarious thing is, Dan, that very next person on my list was Shamir. I think for much the same reason you picked him, he does seem pretty evenly balanced as far as his skill set goes, and maybe not the most, you know, character compelling kind of person on first glance. The one thing I think might be a problem for Shamir is that he did spend a lot of time in his video talking about a showmance, and it seems like something he's very keen on. And if you take your eye off the prize like that, that can't go well for you.
Yeah, that could be a concern. I kind of waver a little bit because, you know, I watched the videos, I think, or read most of the bios alphabetically. So early on, I'm like, well, this guy seems great. And I didn't knock him down too far, but you could poke some holes in it based on that. I don't know. I think balance is important. Yes, I think I even have written down in my notes a little boring. So, but it wasn't the goal to pick him because I feel like there are others that are also there. I'm gonna turn it around. My next picks are gonna be crazy people.
Excellent. Well, that's sort of my plan, I'm realizing now, because all the ones that are at the top of my list are the ones that I guess I'm most entertained by, if my number one pick of Scott is any indication. So I'm firmly in Jordan Parhar's camp of like team train wreck in a way. So I have no expectations of this team doing well, but I'm still going to enjoy myself doing so. So I guess I have pick number six at this point. I am going to go, I don't know if this is a wild card or not, but this guy really stuck out to me as someone who not only, you know, is athletic, has an interesting backstory, but just seems like a really nice guy socially. Give me Redmond Ramos for my sixth pick.
Bastard, that was my next pick.
All right, now I'm finally in lockstep with somebody on this podcast.
I had him number seven. I think he seems like an interesting guy. I mean, he's got a prosthetic leg. He's a veteran. He's competed in a lot of challenges, seems very competitive. I looked at him and I thought he could easily be in my top three or four. So I have no arguments with this pick. I also think he's going to be one of the show's going to focus a lot on him too.
Yeah, I think that he, as we said, he has a really interesting story. For those of you that don't know, he was a medic in the army for 5 years in Afghanistan until his leg ended up getting blown off. And now he's a motivational speaker. While doing that, he's also become an international athlete doing track and swimming. He actually won the CBS show Triumph Games. So he definitely has the athleticism to him as well. He's a little bit like Amy Purdy, the snowboarder who was on Amazing Race 21, I think, more so known for her competition on Dancing with the Stars. So I feel like, you know, him being athletically inclined, he's a doctor, so he has to be, you know, come from a very intelligent background as well. And being a motivational speaker, if he has a partner that might not necessarily agree with him, he'll know how to handle those waters and to cheer them up. So I feel like he, as much as I really built up Scott as the complete package, Remen might more so have the complete package.
Yeah, I couldn't even think of any cons for him. Like, all I have is he might be too nice. Like, I think if there's ever the possibility of a team like, I'm thinking specifically of like Team Texas letting the cheerleaders go in front of them in Amazing Race 27. Like, if ever there is a racer who might possibly do that to someone, it's going to be this guy. But that's the only negative I can see for him.
All right. So I have another pick here, and I'm debating. No, I'm going to try to keep it safe here. For my next pick, give me Tara Carr, the military mom. We have two army officers in this cast. She is a self-proclaimed super fan. She's had 4 kids in 5 years, so she can deal with a lot of stuff. She has that fear of heights, but I do feel like having that army background does give her a certain advantage. And she seems like a nice enough woman to me that made her an overall solid pick.
Yeah, I think I got no qualms about that pick, Mike. That's a good one. Although, Dan, I gotta do some commiserating with you on this, because I was looking at like the age distribution of this cast, and I realized that the quote unquote old mom character on this season is the same age as I am.
And, oh, yeah. Well, I'm older, so I understand.
Yes. And, you know, as the fellow Gen X parent on this podcast, I'm sure, Dan, you can relate to this. And one thing that I always used to rag on people for when in cast previews, whenever they would say that the thing they're most proud of is being a parent, I used to say, like, that's not something that's going to help you on The Amazing Race. And I see now that this is something that I have done, I see now why people say it is their greatest achievement and why they are the most proud of it. And I see why they would say that. I still don't think it's something that helps you on The Amazing Race.
Shoes on the other foot now, Jess.
Shoes on the other foot, but it still fits.
I don't know. Yeah, I think you're right, because it is. I mean, I have two, and I can't imagine 4 and 5 years. That's, you got to be a little insane, I think. But, and I mean that in the nicest way. I'm sure she seems like a really nice, Tara does, nice woman. But unless like she gets with a partner and she has to try and convince them to eat, or like, you know, try and get them to go to sleep or something, I don't know how much it'll help. Like, you know, if she gets partnered with Matt and is like, Matt, I really think you should eat another bite of that sandwich. I don't know. But
I don't know, Dan, killer fatigue is a thing that where people behave really childish by the end game. I think you might need a mom there to sort of like say like, hey, you do that roadblock. You do it right now and stop complaining.
Yeah, how many of these people can she lift and cradle to sleep?
Again, she's a military mom. There might be, I think, quite a few. Floyd, for instance, seems like he could be very easily cradled.
Fair point. And she's technically old enough to be his mom.
Oh, that's great. I had her listed kind of lower, not because of anything about her skills. It's just kind of like what you got at, Jess, where this cast is so young mostly. I mean, there's a few. I think Joey is older and such. But, and I don't know. I feel like, I don't know, when one, the cast is all one way, especially with this pick'em, I just wonder where she's going to end up. And it's totally unfair, and people would be basing it on their first impressions, because I think she could be a very good racer. But I just wonder about that.
She's going to be an undervalued pick for sure. Like, she's going to go much lower than she deserves to go. So I'm glad that she went relatively high in our draft, because I think she's going to have a lot of skills that aren't going to be readily apparent to someone who's sitting there like, you know, 300 pounds of solid muscle thinking, who must I pick to be my perfect balance and also a potential showman's? That's not going to be the 37-year-old mom who's kind of wiry. So I think she's going to be a great teammate to whoever gets her. And I think whoever gets her is going to be very lucky.
I agree. All right. Is it back? It's back to me. Correct.
Back to you, Dan.
All right. Well, I don't want to have a team of all dudes, because I mean, you know, hey, like Shamir told me, the couples are the teams that win. So, you know, I can't go this way. So, and I have several women that I feel like are very strong and seem to have the right attitude. And so I am going to go with Francesca Piccoli, who is 33. She's the army soldier. She's, I don't know, she seems, again, I'm going with the fact that she's a little bit older. She seems to be, you know, she's there, has, you know, been through more in the army and is a strong leader. I don't know. I think she could do okay. Again, she might be a little boring, which might, you know, but it wasn't my reason to pick her this time. But
Sure.
I really, you know, it's one of those, it's going to be the ad. You're going to be like, Dan, if your teams do well, this season is going to be so bad. But I don't know. I look at what she can bring to the table. She was a drill sergeant, which might not be the best person to have as a teammate, but she also was an elementary school teacher. Mm-hmm. So the only red flag is she does talk about morals in her video, which, oh goodness, that almost made me move her further down, because I don't, that doesn't usually go well, but I just think she's going to be a steady presence. And if she finds the right partner, they're going to do well.
One thing that I picked out from Francesca's bio is that she says she likes to remodel houses and RVs in her spare time. And a task we come across in almost every season is the one partner has to fix this motor or fix this car or fill up this thing with gasoline type of task. So I feel like Francesca could be someone who might be a surprise in terms of being very mechanically adept. And that might come in handy with just navigating as well.
Yeah, yeah, I think so, too, because while a lot of these teams might come in thinking that every task is going to be climbing up a mountain, a lot of times the hard ones that really kill teams are like, there's that tent, make it look just like that. And so those aren't always the most exciting for us, but they can lead to the biggest meltdowns. So, hey, I like the pick even more now.
Yeah, I think it's a solid pick. I think my only concern, they're playing up that drill sergeant thing quite a lot in her video, and you get a lot of shots of her yelling. And if she's going to be, if her inner drill sergeant comes out, she's going to have the exact right partner to get through that without causing a lot of hurt feelings.
Yeah, that's a good point. I retract my pick.
No, too late. Not allowed.
Too late.
Stuck in stone.
I'm good with it. I still think she's going to do okay, but there may be some tears being shed if she gets the wrong partner.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. Hopefully it'll also be good television.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so it's to me, and with my next pick, I have a big chunk of picks in the middle that I think come from kind of team boring. So again, this is going to be one of those things like, well, if these people all do really well, we better hope they have some inner quirks that weren't apparent in their video, or we might be in for kind of a dire season. But I think this person is going to be, I think she's going to be a really solid competitor, and I think she's got a good shot to win. And she might surprise me in the personality department, because she did seem very down to earth. I'm going with my next pick. I'm going with Sarah Fowler, the real estate agent from the Virgin Islands.
I was pretty high on Sarah. And again, weird that we have two army people. We have two real estate agents as well. I feel like you said, she's very down to earth. She even says like, listen, I know I'm very primped right now, but I'm going to be a hot mess very soon. She's not afraid to, you know, not be that type that carries around all the sort of beauty supplies that, you know, your Brooke and Claire's and your Ice Cabaves might bring along. She also has a background as a pediatric psych nurse, which I thought was super interesting. I don't know if it's something that immediately applies to The Amazing Race, but, you know, she has a little bit of a unique quirk to her, and her residing in the Virgin Islands. I mean, it's U.S. adjacent, but she almost has international experience and doing things with maybe local cultures right off the bat, which I feel like is an inherent advantage, too. I had her very high.
Yeah, and I think I want to just say that, you know, for all of the flack I got for being too harsh on certain cast members of season 25, I don't think I was harder on anybody than Rob and I were hard on Team Miami Real Estate. So I just want to throw it out there that I'm picking a real estate person from the tropics pretty high in this draft round. And also someone who seems like she might be high maintenance, but maybe I'll redeem myself now and like the real estate community will stop sending me hate mail.
You'll be able to buy a house finally.
Yeah, you walk into the real estate office, they're like, nope, sorry, you're on the wall. I like her the more I think about it with Sarah, because at first you do see her at first and you go, oh, great, real estate agent. Like she mentioned, she's very made up, but her background is more interesting. She does seem down to earth and strong and not full of herself. And all of those things do generally lead to winners or people that do well in the show. So I think it's a good pick. You know, she would fit right in with my team, I think, in terms of excitement. So it's a great pick. Though I didn't have her that high, but I think also there's nothing about her that's really like a huge red flag. I think a lot of it's just who she's going to be with. I think she'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, put her with one of these like kind of dopey, muscly dudes and they'll go all the way. So it just depends on who she gets picked with. But I think she's going to be a solid partner for whoever she has. And so with that, I get to go again. And I'm going to continue. Picking the ladies. I'm going to have a very female heavy team when all is said and done. And I'm going to go with Brooke, who is the attorney from New York. And I think she is another person. I think she's a very solid competitor. I think she's very driven. She seems highly intelligent and she seems like she knows the show. And whether that's just her talking a good game based on whatever DVDs she was given, or she really does have it in her bones, you know, it's debatable, but I got the sense that she's very familiar with the show.
This, I guess, was like, you guys were to Scott what I am to Brooke here, because Brooke was at the bottom of my list. She seems like a lot of fun, and I love that she has the potty mouth on her. I'm sure the censors are not happy, but there were a few red flags that stuck out to me. She said she doesn't want to be partnered with someone who takes too long to think. Let's remember, Brooke, well, one of the main tasks of every leg involves you having to make a decision between two tasks. I have a feeling she might be that one team that's like, all right, just pick something and let's go. And then as a result, they find themselves floundering. She says she doesn't have a good sense of direction, which I don't think is very good at all. And she does admit at one point, she's like, I hope I have a partner who's going to be able to carry my backpack at some point, which a little bit of a red flag to me as well. She seems like a really fun personality, but I think there was just too much sticking out to me to put her that high on the list, personally speaking.
Yeah. I had her in the middle. I actually had her very close to Scott on my list, I think.
But <right. laughs>
I see that she's a director of business development for a law firm, which actually I had for a while had a similar job. And having to do that kind of job with attorneys, you need to deal with some real pieces of work or whatever. So she could deal with a lot from a partner, which could be good. But Mike, you make some good points too. I don't know. She's somebody who could be all over the map for me. That's why I had her in the middle. Because I look and I say, she seems like she could be good and she's going to be fun, but it's going to depend on who she's with. Put her with someone like a Logan, she's probably fine. Put her with a few other people, I don't know. I'm jumping ahead though. We haven't talked about him yet.
Well, we'll get there. Like, actually, I mean, it is your pick, Dan. I had Logan very next on my list, but I'm curious to see.
I can't do it.
Come on,
I can't do it. He's too boring. I can't do it. He's actually near the top, but I can't do it. I was like, I cannot pick that guy with the other people I have. It's just too much. So I'm going to let someone else make the pick. Not that I'm not going to go crazy and, you know, pick somebody who I think is dead last, but, so I have a couple other choices here. I'm going to go with the kid. You know, I mean, I hate to just call him the kid, but, you know, he's not the next on my list, but I kind of like to see what he does. I'm going to go with Floyd Pierce. I think.
What are you guys drinking tonight?
I kind of like the look of the makeup of my group. I know he's 21. He's too young probably to win, but I think he's smart. I think he's going to be a lot of fun. I don't know. Part of me is looking at my team going, no, I don't know. I think he's going to bring something fun to the season. He's probably needs to be with somebody who's more travels better and is more seasoned. But I don't know. I think having the right attitude is going to be even more important this season than other seasons, because you're not going with someone you've known for 10 years and you need to be able to adjust. And I think he's going to come in just being like, I can't believe I'm on The Amazing Race. I'm in college. Let's do this. I don't know. Am I crazy?
I mean, I think from an athletic perspective, and especially compared to the other guys, unfortunately, Floyd is just not kicking it there. I mean, he's a college student. It makes sense that he's not hitting the gym every day. I love that he's a drum major for the college marching band. The music geek in me, and I'm assuming the same with you, Jess, absolutely loves that. And if there is a singing task or what have you, I'm sure he is going to kill it. But that's kind of the only task I see him doing well on. I think he might maintain pretty well, but a kid that's so young and presumably so unathletic might be the one that sort of peters out after a few legs.
Yeah, I'm with you on this one, Mike. And the one thing that really disappoints me about this, I think there's, when it comes to how this cast was put together, I think there's kind of three categories of people, like three big buckets. I think there are people that applied for this show with a partner. I think there are people that applied for another CBS reality show. And then I think there are people that are that were picked up out of whatever bar the Vanderpump people work at. And Floyd is one of those people. I think he probably applied for The Amazing Race, and I think he probably had a partner. And so I am a little bit angry that the world was deprived of a team of two marching band geeks running The Amazing Race, because that would have been amazing, and I would have loved them and rooted for them for all two episodes that they would have lasted.
Well, I feel like I've been more strategic with some of my picks, and you know, that's all in good, but I just kind of like the guy. And I looked at my list and I'm like, he's ranked kind of high. I don't expect that he's going to take, you know, be the standout competitor in every task, but I want to root for him. So I figured with this pick is a good spot to do that, because the really top people I had ranked are mostly gone. So,
all right. So I have the next two picks. I have decided that I guess my moniker for my team is Team Camera Whore, because I'm going for, I guess, the bigger characters. This person is a complete wild card. Their personality is so weird. I have no idea how they're going to do, but she's got so many positive quirks. Give me Becca, the barista rock climber.
What?
Here's the thing. Like, she seems like a purely aloof person. But the thing is, she is jacked beyond all belief. And you have to believe that, like, when it comes to these physical tasks, she is going to be able to really hold her own. And the fact that she has this sort of floofy, positive personality might help when she's up against the more brusque people. And that being said, I just want her to do well because she seems like such a weirdo. The basic thing that I thought of was that she's Krista Hasty from Survivor.
That's
Pearl Island.
Literally the only thing I have in my notes about her.
And I love me some Krista. Maybe it's because Survivor Pearl Island is my favorite season, but I'm at this point wanting to pick people that I think could possibly do well and at the same time have a really fun personality. So that's why I'm picking Becca.
You know, I almost picked her just because I wanted her on my team with my last pick.
Yeah.
You know, I just love, I mean, you look at hobbies and she lists beatboxing, freestyling, dancing, and then parentheses, swing dance, contra dance, and dancing at the club, juggling, club, skiing, gardening, and video editing of all things at the end. But she just seems like she's going to be fun. But I thought pretty highly of her. And then I watched her video and I thought, oh my, that person, I don't know if she's going to last that long. And even though she is super strong, like you said, I don't think she's going to get picked that way by some of the dudes. And I think she's going to be on kind of an oddball team, which is going to be so much fun, but I think they're going to go out quick.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, she's physically strong and she's got a strong personality. That's how I'm going to put that.
Well, we'll see. Who knows? Becca could surprise us all. I mean, like Dan said, I sort of picked her just because I wanted her on my team. So we'll see if that selfish pick for me pays off or not. All right. So I have the next pick here, and I'm not going to go for someone boring again. Again, Team Camera Whore is going to be stocked to the nines here. Give me Woo from Survivor Cagayan. I mean, Kevin, the athletic trainer from San Diego, for my next pick.
Oh, geez.
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
He climbs a tree in his video, so that's fun.
I'll admit that, like, when I saw his profile initially, I'm like, OK, this is like, again, another like dude bro. But he says he's like a merman in the water. He's very aerodynamic. And as he says, water dynamic. Is this guy the smartest man around? Absolutely not. But the thing is, he almost has this, as you said, this sort of like Ozzie Luce-esque athleticism where he'll be able to be pretty athletic and be able to just sort of like make his way through. I think he seems like he has a solid enough personality that he's not really going to rustle anybody's feathers. Again, this is someone that I want to see go far just because he seems like such a funny guy. His goal in winning the money is that he wants to give puppies away to everybody. How can you not pick someone that wants to give puppies away? Again, high risk, high reward. He's probably not going to do well, but I just wanted him on my team for fun.
Well, I'm glad you're going to have fun with that pick.
Yeah, absolutely. No regrets here.
Yeah, I want to point out when they ask him to describe what he does, he says he works with the care, prevention, and rehabilitation of elite athletes. What's he preventing the athletes from doing there?
He has a master's, Jess.
I don't have a master's, so okay.
Yeah, I think that we need to get him and Matt on a team. That's all I will say. That's going to be, those guys are going to be lost at the airport. I mean, they're never going to get out of the United States. And I say this having picked Matt first. I don't want him on the team with Kevin. That would make it a bad pick. I think he's going to be funny. And I totally got the Woo vibe. I mean, more, and not just because of how he looks, he just the way he talked and everything. And he was pretty far down my list, but I think he's going to be entertaining.
He's definitely going to be that. Like, yeah, and it's true. Close your eyes and you could be listening to Woo. But now you guys have made me realize I really want him and Matt to be a team just because I want to see that.
Make it happen, CBS.
If not that, then I want him to be with like the most type A person we have. Like, I want Kevin and Francesca to be a team.
Oh my gosh.
So anyway, Dan, you're up.
You know, again, I have to kind of veer away from my board now that I don't want to be to have, I don't want to have too many boring guys. So sorry, Logan, you're just going to hang out on the board for a while. No one seems to want to pick him, apparently. And, and now I just have to pick who I want of. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to go with possibly the person who I'm not sure is that well built for the race, but is ridiculously muscular, especially for a female contestant. And that is Jessie Lynn Shields, the canine cop. Yeah, I think, I mean, the thing is, you look at her at first and you go, wow, she is built. She's going to kill a challenge. But what really drew it, I just feel like she's fun. I don't know. I think she's strong, but doesn't come across as kind of a boring weightlifter type. I mean, her job is interesting. She's the basically canine police officer and just seems to have a big personality. But I could not pick her because of some of the other people that are left, a lot of them just don't excite me that much in terms of my team, or I think are going to do poorly. I think she could do okay. She's probably going to get picked quickly just by people are going to look at her by somebody. I have a feeling. But
I mean, yeah, I mean, far be it from me to comment on someone who looks entertaining but might not do well. But I mean, again, I look at her profile and she's like, I call myself a tidge cocky. I'm as emotional as 15 women put together. Traveling, especially without a phone or GPS, has never been a strong suit of mine. And I'm thinking like, eesh, all right, you better hope there's a rope pulling challenge sometime soon. I think that Jessie is going to be a really fun personality, considering that, you know, her main work partner is Hector the Protector, the German Shepherd. It's really rollicking to talk with some people. But I feel like her personality spikes, or at least her claim personality spikes, seem to almost negate her appeared athleticism. So I'm hoping that she gets with, you know, maybe her and Kevin would be fun because Jessie would just be yelling at him the entire time. Yes. And Kevin would be like, oh, all right, that's okay. That's totally fine. Maybe they would actually really balance each other out and Dan and I would be able to work together in that perspective. But I don't know. I could totally see her flaming out.
Yeah, I think I'm going to guess she found her way onto this cast by applying for another show. Like, mm-hmm. I think she was probably much more anticipating a Survivor or Big Brother scenario. So there's a big question of how she's going to do on The Amazing Race, where she's tethered to a partner the whole time. And I really don't know how I feel about, like, I think she might also be kind of showman's fixated. The I hope my partner is a male is kind of off-putting.
Yeah, it is.
And I really kind of want to see her with another woman just because of that. Like, I want her to embrace her inner girl power because she is definitely the most jacked woman on a cast full of jacked women. And, you know, if she was on a female team with a really strong, like a Francesca or an Olive, they could kick some serious butt. So I want her to exceed her own expectations.
I feel like every pick I make, then you guys convince me that it was terrible. But I'm okay with it because I think I might have gone with Becca here if she was still available, just because I thought it'd be fun to have her on my team.
Yeah. Listen, but, my team is becoming more fun and fun by the moment. Not necessarily successful, but more and more fun by the moment.
I'm trying to balance it out.
My team has Seth and he really likes trains. So I feel good about how much fun my team would be. And so with that, maybe my team is going to be team boring because I'm going to go ahead and scoop him off the board with my next pick. I'm going to go ahead, even while I was going through the cast, I skipped over him a whole bunch of times just because he's that much of a non-entity. Go ahead and give me Logan in this spot.
Yeah, Logan seemed fine to me. Maybe it's because his personality was so blasé that I sort of tuned out most of what he was saying. But I mean, he claims he was fast on his feet. He was athletic. I guess he has a similar story as Scott in that he used to be out of shape and he used to be an introvert, but that has substantially changed. He's never traveled outside the United States, but I feel like there are quite a few people on this cast who has not done that as well. He was like perfectly middle right down the line for me in terms of my list. So I think him going right in the middle of our draft, too, is a perfect pick.
I think it's telling that the thing that scares him most about traveling is offending people. I think that might also be true in life.
Yeah, he described himself as gregarious, and I was like, we did not see that on the videos. I want to point something out, though, and he mentions in his bio, this isn't just about him, that he wants to visit Fiji. There's like at least three people that say they want to visit Fiji. Are these all people that applied for Survivor and just assume that's where they would go? Or is this just something? I mean, nothing against Fiji. It looks beautiful. But is that really the number one answer for that many people? I just don't get it. So I don't know if it's a Survivor thing or what. I don't know. His bio is really boring, but that does not mean he won't do well. He was number eight on my list. I just couldn't get myself to pick him, and I'm not sure why.
Maybe it's just going to curse my team. Like maybe all of my people will go out now because I've picked Logan. And
yeah, he's going to be the lone person that you have to rely on in the end game.
Yeah, that would be it. It's like he's like the Dana and Matt of the cast here.
Well, the fun part about this as well, and I'm sorry for going on a tangent in the middle of our draft, literally, is that since we're picking individuals, they have the prospect of partnering up with each other. So like, for instance, you know, if you poo poo my choice of Kevin, but then he joins up with someone like Seth, now Jess and I are in a formidable alliance trying to work together so that both of our picks make it through.
Exactly. This is the beauty of us not knowing who's on what team is we end up having to sit there with like our, you know, each of us carrying half the load here.
So. Yeah, and I'm nervous that I will have my players on the same team and then they will be eliminated first. So I hope there's a lot of mixing just so I have a better chance, I think. So
yeah, I want some wildly unbalanced teams. Like that's always the hope. And you know, it also makes for an interesting scoring strategy too. All right, so I get to go again. I think we've spent enough time talking about Logan.
I know, more than enough time talking about Logan.
This poor guy, like his name is Logan Bauer. That sounds like a made up name. So watch him be like the greatest character in the history of The Amazing Race. And we all love him like more than like Team Guido and the Harlem Globetrotters combined.
Love is a strong word there, Jess, with the Harlem Globetrotters.
I don't know, man. I was trying to think
enjoy
of like,
for a while.
Like the combination of the Guidos and the Cha-Chas.
Yeah, it's like the Guidos and the Cha-Chas, and they all come together, and Logan like exceeds them all in terms of lovability. I hope that for him. All right, so I'm going to go ahead. You guys can't have all of the quirky people. I'm going to go ahead, and with my next pick, I'm going with Joey.
That was going to be my next pick.
Oh, he was my next pick, too. I didn't think he was quirky enough. I was like, oh, good. She's not going to pick Joey. And then you did.
I mean, he opens his mouth and he's got like more regional accent than anybody else on the show. And regional accent always means quirky.
What are you talking about? My hot, Jess? You're talking about how much hot I got?
Get a lot of hot.
Yeah, Joey, I mean, he's our resident old man on the season, right? Which is scary, saying that he's like 46. Yeah. But I don't think that's a detractor, because I mean, we had a grandfather in his 70s make it to the end of the race one season. I think the big thing that he's gotten in line in his wheelhouse is cardio. He ran the Boston Marathon 12 times. I think any amazing race contestant can tell you there's so much running that he's definitely got that strength right off the top.
Yeah, and he does not look 46. I'm sorry. Like, he doesn't even look 36.
Yeah, I think he's going to do well. Now, the only problem is he's very focused. I think this could be a case where if he partners with somebody, you know, he says his partner has to have a lot of hot, as he says in his video. But I think he's somebody who's not going to have a lot of patience with running all those marathons. Mm-hmm. If he gets partnered with the wrong person, and I don't know who that wrong person is yet.
Kevin.
But somebody who's, yes, Kevin. But somebody who doesn't take it as seriously.
Whoa, slow down, Joey. Let's check out these trees. Come on.
Let's go for a swim.
I'm a merman. Did I tell you that?
So Joey needs the certain type of partner, and that's my only question. But I think he's somebody 46. I mean, I'm not 46. I'm only 41, but it's funny for me to say this. He's not the typical 46-year-old. It sounds so stupid, but he easily is as strong as a lot of the, you know, pretty much anybody, maybe not the super weightlifters, but that doesn't always help you. I think he's going to do okay if he has the right teammate.
Well, I think there's also the way the greatest answer I've ever seen on a questionnaire comes from Joey. And they ask him, what do you think will be the biggest challenge you and your teammate face? Joey is most concerned that they're going to make them spacewalk.
I see.
I mean, that would explain why we're not going to have any more Amazing Race after this, because the show blew their budget sending everybody into frickin' space.
That would be amazing. I mean, we got a little taste of it during that family season, right? When it was the third episode where they went to like the Space Center and had to sit in a centrifuge for a bit. But now they really are just going whole hog and saying, you know what, CBS is probably going to cancel us anyway. Let's just finish by launching the final three teams into space.
It's like the Moonraker of Amazing Race seasons.
Moonracer.
Oh. Oh, man. You know, by doing that, though, you've made it really hard for me to pick now, because I feel like we've got two categories left. We got people that I think are ridiculous and are going to do well. And then people that I'm just like, oh my gosh, I don't want that person on my
computer. Listen to your heart, Dan. You know who you want to pick.
Oh no. Yes, I do actually. All right. I'm going to do it. This might be someone who we might've thought wouldn't get picked. I'm going to go with Vank Zoo.
Oh my God, Dan.
Nice. That's probably gonna be one of my next picks, just for the hell of it.
I don't really. I mean, the other option would have been Mr. Michael Rado, the butcher, but nobody who's left, I think, is going to win or do particularly amazing. I just look at the group that's left, and I'm kind of like, I don't know. I mean, so I'm like, let's pick this guy, because in this cast, like normally he would have a partner that would be kind of like him, and they'd be the fan favorites and you'd root for them, and they'd finish first in episode two and you wouldn't believe it. And then episode four, they get eliminated. And I don't think that he's good. He doesn't really have his pair person to do that, but I'm excited to see him on the show because he's so different than most of these other guys. So I'm like, yeah, I'll take a shot. I still don't think he's going to get eliminated in the first episode. I think some team's going to flame out and get lost or whatever. And we're going to blink and it's going to be episode six. And you're gonna be like, how is Bank and his partner still there? I don't think he's going to win, but I don't know. It's just, he's fun, especially compared to this cast.
Yeah, I think that Vank is an interesting pick. I mean, he's a self-proclaimed puzzle king. And granted, the puzzles that we face in The Amazing Race are really nothing that extreme. But I feel like, you know, having someone who graduated from Columbia with a cum laude in econ, philosophy and math would be definitely someone to take that on. He's on a street hockey team. I don't know if we're looking at like rocket power levels of athleticism, but at least he has some part of that to him, because I would say that's probably his weakest category is the athletic parts. He does say I'm either very lax or very competitive. So there's points where, I mean, not to go back to kicking and screaming, but Jess, you know, our chess guy, Sam, like went super aggro in the episode where, spoiler alert, he got eliminated. I could see Vank totally doing that as well. He might have a short fuse and we don't even realize it. But otherwise, I think he's especially this down, far down on the board, I think he's a fine pick.
Yeah, I think you guys have covered it. He's obviously incredibly intelligent, but he is skinny AF. He's a tiny dude. And I think if anybody on this board, like if we're putting bets down on who's going to get picked last, I think this poor kid, like he's going to be an underrated pick in last place. And I think you guys are absolutely right. No way is this guy going out first, but he's not going all the way. So I had him dead last on my board. So, but again, I'm also, yes. I had a big chunk of boring people in the middle that I'm now feeling like I need to drift away from when it comes back around to me.
Well, so, when you come back around, there might not be that many people left.
Yeah. We'll see who I get stuck with, but yeah. Okay. We'll see how you do, Dan. That's not the pick I would have gone with, but I want him to surprise me. I always want the cerebral people to surprise me.
Well, you All know right. the show is going to get set up. It's almost like a Beauty and the Geek kind of thing. I mean, you know that's going to happen. And with him, I mean, I don't know. I feel like that he's going to be part of an underdog team that, yeah, probably won't win. But at this point, it's worth a shot.
Who is the best person he could get paired with, and who is the worst?
Of everyone?
Of everyone.
Floyd.
I feel like the worst would probably be Floyd, right? Those guys just probably, if there's a challenge where they have to like use their upper bodies to do something, I don't know if either one of them could do it. They'd have to take the 4-hour penalty.
Yeah, for sure.
The personality wise, they might fit because, you know, but yeah, they
nerds, if you're stick talking, together.
If you're talking physical stuff, he needs someone who's strong but also laid back. That's
Kevin.
The
yes. This is just becoming the mold, guys. I'm just saying.
I like how we're just picturing Kevin paired with all of these people.
I'm cool like that. I can totally switch teams if you need me to.
I'm on everybody's team because I think we should all be friends.
All right. So I guess I get my last two picks to round out Team Camera Whore here. I'm going to pick for my first one someone who might not necessarily be a camera whore in terms of their personality, but will definitely be a camera whore because a professional model brings the cameras to her no matter what. I'm talking about Jen Lee, the professional model. I think she's, especially so far down on the board, she's fine for right now. She does say she's into anything outdoorsy and crazy. I don't know how athletic that actually means. But, you know, she can get acquainted places quickly. She has studied psychology, which might help. Somehow I'm sort of grasping for straws here. The one thing I did pick out is that she says she has both a U.S. and an Australian passport, which makes me think she's done a lot of traveling, at least between the U.S. and Australia, which makes me think she's at least accustomed to some travel.
I think that's fair. I had her solidly middle of the pack. I think I literally had her at number 11.
Yeah, I don't know. I think she could do fine. And that last pick probably was a case where I should have probably taken her as the choice. But I'm so worn down by the I'm good looking and people underestimate me and I'm going to prove that I'm smarter than they think I am. Everything may be totally true. It's so I don't mean to knock her at all by that. And she's definitely traveled more than a lot of the people that I picked on my team. But I don't know. I just saw that and I kind of went, oh, great. But there's a good chance she'll be around for a while.
All right. So for my last pick, you know, this person definitely left an interesting mark on me.
Don't do it.
But once these eyes stared into my soul and I saw she was from my current city of New York, New York, I couldn't help but pick her. I'm picking from the final member of Team Camera Whore, London K, the yarn artist.
That is not where I thought you were going with that pick. Ooh. But I'm behind it. Like, that was the highest pick I had left on my board.
Yeah, so I think, you know, she is a little goofy. And again, those eyes just like... they stare into you. And I don't know how that necessarily is going to translate into some people might U-turn her just because her eyes are so creepy. But the thing is, I saw in her B-roll, she was doing a lot of ballet moves. And she said in her bio that she dances a lot, maybe not as much as the club dancing that Becca's doing. But I feel like London could be one of those low key aces in the what I'm going to assume is the myriad of dancing challenges that come about. I have no idea how athletic she's going to be and going to be able to keep up with probably some of the stronger workhorses. But she seems like she's going to be a lot of fun and is going to be crocheting on the trip no matter what. So I'm hoping for the sake of wardrobe choices that London stays in more so than I think.
Well, we're all going to be wishing we had her on our team when they hit the crochet challenge.
Oh, man, she's going to kill it.
I think she is athletic. The ballet is no joke, but her video with those eyes and just, and she's really in your face, like she's intense as it might just be the eyes. And again, it's one of those where I think if she's paired with the right person that balances her out. Like, I mean, I hate to bring him up, but like Matt or something, Kevin actually fits too, but we got to talk about somebody else, right? Kevin, you go crochet. That's okay. Just do your thing. But with Matt, I feel like anyone like that, it'll be okay. But I think if you put her with like a Joey or something, I look at it, or, you know, even somebody like Francesca, or I don't know, there's just a lot of challenges there with her, but I think she's going to be fun on the screen and really interesting just because she's not your typical person they'd have on the show. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I totally mean it in the best way.
And, you know, Phil said at the beginning of the preview, he said there's people that come up to him and say, I'd love to be on the show, but I don't have anybody I could race with. And on its face, I thought, well, we don't want those people on the show because they don't have any friends. But then I thought, someone like London, who would you pair her with? Like, is she going to get another street crocheter? And like, what would that look like? What would that even be? So I can see in a case like this, like, she's someone who would be great on reality TV. I think we're going to enjoy her as a character. But yeah, who would she have gone on regular Amazing Race with?
Yeah, we really missed out on the London Banksy pairing on the Amazing Race.
That would have been amazing for the all of one episode before, you know, Banksy has to show his passport and can't get on the plane.
All right, is it back to me now for my final pick?
Mm-hmm.
Go for it, Dan.
There are three choices remaining. One will be mine, one will be Jess's, and one will be Team Rob. There's probably the safest pick here is the Missourian auctioneer to me. And or you could pick, you know, Ashton, but I'm not going to do that. I was hoping you were not going to pick Mr. Michael Rado, the butcher, because, again, he stands out so differently from the rest of this cast. I think he's not going to get picked for a while if he doesn't win the original challenge. And I'm not sure he's that well suited for this race, but I like the idea of having him on my team just because the show, this cast, he's in a totally different way from Vank, way off the map. And I think it's going to be fun. And he may be a sneaky, smart, Amazing Race contestant.
Yeah, he said he has a surprisingly high IQ. And again, not to speak too much about like being not the type to be on the Amazing Race. I mean, we talked too much about the Blind Date Edition. Mike and Rochelle, Team Truck Stop, who I think you and Ron both assume would be going pretty early, made it all the way to the finale and got eliminated in fourth place. So
I mean, I just want the record to show I said I didn't think they were going to win, but I thought that they'd go farther than we thought. And they did go farther than we thought. So
that's true. That's true. So sorry, I'll throw all the shade onto Rob then, yes, posthumously. But I mean, you have to really throw your support behind a guy whose Instagram handle is at Mucho Destructo. he just seems like a lot of fun. I wanted to pick London just because of the hometown connection to finish it off. And Michael probably would have been my next pick because he just seems like someone that is going to get a lot of screen time in the maybe few episodes that he's on. And who knows, maybe there's going to be a meat cleaving task that he's really going to excel at.
Well, also, Michael and Becca are both from Pittsburgh.
Ooh.
Let me tell you. But and that would be a really fun team to have. So
do you think they're going to ask, like, all right, it's my pick. Everyone just go down the line, say where you're from for a second.
Yeah. How would they find out if that happened? Be like,
well, Joey would open his mouth.
That's true. I'm from Alaska.
But I don't know. I think, you know, it's one of those things where we've seen, and I don't mean to say he's not, like, there's been plenty of amazing race, regular blue collar contestants that have done well, that have been fan favorites. It's not that he's different. It's more looking at this cast in particular that I say that, because, and especially when you don't have teams, it does set this up. Because, yeah, if he was like, okay, I'm a butcher, and, you know, they always try and make it weird, and somebody's a butcher and then the other person is like a fish packer, I don't know, or some fish packer, I'm not even sure what that is, but you know what I mean, they try to make it somehow connect is why they do it. So I want to root for him, and if he's on my team as the last pick, I'd rather root for him and see him surprise us. Just like, you know, I'm going crazy. I think my team has completely gone off the rails in the last like four picks.
I have inspired you with my chaos, Dan. I think you pulled me
in your direction. But I'm going with them.
You guys are killing me. And Mike of Mike and Rochelle has actually been blowing up Facebook this week saying that they cast somebody to be like him. And they're like, this guy's copying my look.
And name.
Yeah. And name. But I wonder if this guy maybe applied for The Amazing Race with his spouse, who turns out to be like a completely normal person with no tattoos and no connection to meat. And casting was like, well, we can take one of you. So, yeah, OK, I figured this was where you were going to go with this, Dan. And congratulations for having him on your team. And now we are at the bottom of the proverbial barrel here. And I'm going to hate you guys so much in the end when Ashton goes all the way and takes it, but you've convinced me my team is too boring.
Yes.
And I'm going to go ahead for my final pick. I'm going to put Liz on my team. Even though she has my number one pet peeve of people going on The Amazing Race, she showed up to the starting line in jeans.
Oh my
Don't
god.
Don't ever do that.
Yeah, Liz was ranked dead last for me just because she's like, yeah, I guess I'll do pretty well. I mean, I love a partner that would be athletic because I know I just sort of sit behind a desk all day. And it seems like the person who the jeans signify the fact that she's probably done no preparation for the race. And who knows? She might, you know, idiot savant her way to the end. She might actually end up doing really well. But I don't know. She has like all the qualifications to not make someone who maybe someone who watches The Amazing Race, not necessarily someone who participates in the Amazing Race.
Yeah, well, I mean, in fairness, there is an Amazing Race auctioneer connection, because you guys may not be aware of this, but one person who got their start as an auctioneer and has become quite prominent in Amazing Race circles is our very own Amazing Race Canada host John Montgomery was also an auctioneer before he got plucked from Olympic semi-obscurity to host Amazing Race Canada. So, you know, maybe there's something there that makes you good at doing Amazing Race things. But I'm grasping at straws here because, honestly, I had her second to last, and you guys worked your big character voodoo on me and forced me to choose her. And now she's on my team.
Jess, this might be the last season of The Amazing Race ever. Do you want to go out picking someone who's boring, or do you want to pick someone who might be, as she described herself, a firecracker on television, whether that means she soars into the sky or fizzles out on the lawn?
They don't call her a firecracker for nothing. That's what I read. So, yeah, I had her dead last, too. I don't know. I didn't even notice the jeans, which makes me feel even better about that. And I look and I'm like, someone from Missouri, though she is from like very far, probably 6 hours away from me. So it's not like it's a hometown thing. But I just, everything about her bio and everything screamed to me first out. And I hate to say that. I don't know. It could be she ends up with the right partner. But also, if she shows up at the starting line in jeans, she's not getting picked first. She's getting picked near the end. I don't know. It could surprise me, because you could see a situation where she ends up on a team with Tara. And Tara's, and both of them are stronger than we think. But I don't know. But I will say, if I had to choose between her and Ashton, even though Ashton was much higher for me, I would have picked her too, Jess. So I think you made the right move.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, here's hoping. Here's hoping that we have underestimated her greatly. And, you know, she's thoughtful. Like, she filled out a really lengthy survey. And I have a soft spot for people that write detailed survey responses on their cast page. So there's that, too. I think she's an interesting person. I think she's a big character. And so, you know, if she goes out early, at least she'll go out in an interesting way.
Should we talk about Rob's pick now, Ashton?
Yep. We should go ahead, because I know that Rob loves the high maintenance real estate people, because Rob and I were so terrible to Team Miami real estate.
Yeah, this is going to make up for all the positive karma you had in picking the other real estate agent, right, Jess?
I think it is. I mean, I have nothing bad to say about Ashton. I had her very middle of the pack. I think she's okay. Like, there's nothing in her bio that says to me that she's got any huge red flags, like reasons not to pick her. There's just not a lot of reasons to pick her.
Yeah, I had her in the middle of the pack as well. And I know, Dan, I think you said you did too. I mean, she said she grew up hunting, fishing, riding ATVs. So it seems like she's more outdoorsy than even somebody like Shamir. On the other hand, she said she's a bit of a control freak. So we'll see, unless you're partnered with Kevin or Matt, who are sort of like the designated go with the flow guys, I guess, of this cast. And she said she has a short fuse for pessimists and BSers, and I don't know how optimistic these people are going to be as the race gets further on. So she might have a propensity to really go off on her partner, but she seems like she has a fine tool set going into the race, all things considered.
Go ahead, Dan.
I agree. I had her number 12, like near kind of Brooke and actually above Scott. And so, you know, it's not like it just got to a point where when we were picking, where I looked at who was left and who I already had. And Mike, you were pulling me in the don't pick the boring people direction. And it's not that she's probably no more boring. She's probably less boring than Logan or a few of the others. But I just looked and I thought, look at these goofy people. And I don't mean in the best way possible, goofy, like Vank and Michael. And I'm like, you know, I kind of want to root for them. So it's kind of bad for that Ashton is the one we don't pick, mainly just because we all kind of pick some less crazy people early, and just she fell into that slot. But I don't think she'll be first out. I think she'll probably do just fine, but nothing really jumps out so far.
Yeah, I think we will. We'll have a point where in the final episode, when they do the whole montage of Phil eliminating everybody, we'll be like, oh yeah, she was a person that was on the show.
That being said, how do you think Rob's going to react to being given the, I wouldn't say milk toast, but definitely the more mild mannered real estate agent?
He's going to be pissed that he doesn't get the auctioneer.
Yeah, I would say Rob, out of even more so than me, is a fan of Team Good TV and Team Trainwreck characters. So I think he would have loved to have Michael or Liz, even someone like Floyd or Vank. So the fact that we sort of grabbed them up before he got to them might not necessarily mean him leave him in the best mood coming into Amazing Race 29.
Well, he's already not in a great mood coming into Amazing Race 29 because they moved it to the busiest day of his week. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we might as well go ahead and tell you guys how things are going to work this season. Rob is going to be covering the show with me, but we are not going to be doing a live show after the episode because we both have small children and lives. So we'll probably be recording sometime on Friday, and this will be dropping into the Reality Rehap Ups feed. So you'll be able to find it there alongside coverage for many other fine reality TV programs. And you'll also be able to find it in the Amazing Race feed. So you can subscribe to either one of those things in iTunes or whatever fine podcast aggregator you use. So I guess with all that in mind, guys, we should go ahead and give people the opportunity to support our teams. Let's go ahead and recap what we have for our teams. And go ahead and come up with a name for your team that we can use as a hashtag so people can tweet at us and tell us which team they think has the best chance of either winning or being good television. Whatever they decide are the criteria for doing well. Mike, your team is Scott, Redmond, Tara, Becca, Kevin, Jen, and London. And what are you going to call your team?
I deem them before. I think Team Camera Horrors is very appropriate, considering that, again, you guys snatch up some bigger characters near the end, but I feel like these are going to be the people that are going to be monopolizing a lot of the screen time with their shenanigans, or maybe in the case of Redmond, a nice heartwarming story. That being said, I am very happy with my team and the chaos that they are going to cause.
Yeah, I think the way you're defining winning, Mike, I think you're going to win.
I'm like the Charlie Sheen winning. That's the way I'm defining it.
Hashtag winning. So yeah, if you're supporting Mike's team, you can go ahead and tweet hashtag Team Camera Whores. And Dan's team consists of Matt, Shamir, Francesca, Floyd, Jesse, Vank, and Michael. What are you calling your team, Dan?
Well, see, early on, I think the hashtag that would be best would be Team Boring. But does that still apply with Vank and Michael on my team and Jesse? Will I be Team Half Boring? I don't know. I was trying to figure out if that's too specific. But what do you guys think?
I think Team Half Boring works pretty well.
Because that's what I feel like. It's about half boring, you know. So, all right.
And that way I can make my team Full Boring.
We're really covering the spectrum here.
I love that. That's great.
So my own team is Seth, Olive, Sarah, Brooke, Logan, Joey, and Liz. And I'm going with Team Full Boring and Liz.
Liz is just, yeah, I was going to spice it up a tiny bit. Should I change mine then? Should Team Camera Horrors also go by Team Not Boring?
No, I think Team Camera Horrors works pretty well for you, Mike.
Very true.
So this podcast is going to drop sometime on Monday, we are thinking, and then Amazing Race premieres at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursday. And following that, Rob and I will get together sometime on Friday to talk about everything that happened in episode one. And I will come up with some kind of metric. If somebody wants to volunteer to score our teams for this season, I would love that. Otherwise, I'll come up with something myself, and it's probably not going to be very mathematically sound, because I think my ideal partner here would be Shamir, because he's all about the numbers and I'm not really a math person.
But yeah, get Vank to help work on it.
Yes. Yeah. So if Shamir and Vank are a team, can they just be Team Math? Okay, I think the first assignment, once you get your partner, your first assignment should be you have to design a team t-shirt.
Well, I don't know. London would be perfect with that. I mean, she could knit the t-shirt, maybe not design the t-shirt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, whoever has her for a partner, like they're really excited about the Arts and Crafts Challenge. All right, guys. So we would love to know what you think about our teams here, about how totally cracked out all of us are. Except maybe me, and then you can tell me I'm boring. So you can go ahead and reach us in the comments section over on robswebsite.com. We love hearing from you there. You can also find us on Twitter, and I am at Haymaker Hattie.
Go ahead, Dan.
I am at the Dan Heaton.
And I am at a Mike Bloom type.
So please go ahead, if you got all the way to the end of this podcast, feel free to tweet at us and tell us whose team you like, whether it's Team Camera Horrors, Team Half Boring, or Team Full Boring and Liz. And we will look forward to hearing all of your feedback. And so I want to thank Mike and Dan for coming on and having this very fun Amazing Race 29 draft with me.
Thank you so much for having us on. And I think talking through this cast and the insanity that might come out of these people through their pre-show press makes me really excited. Even though this twist might not be canonical Amazing Race, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch no matter what. And I'm thrilled to be listening to you and Rob cover it for maybe the last, but hopefully not the last time.
You know, if we're going to go out, at least we're going out with a bang.
A firecracker bang.
Indeed.
Well, who knows? Maybe this will be the season that lifts the ratings up and we have another like 30 seasons. I don't know. Crazier things have happened. I'm excited. This cast seems more fun than I thought, except for Logan. So it's going to be fun.
Man, we're so mean. I hope Logan turns out to be the most fun person of all of us. I hope he's just like nonstop party dude. That's what I hope for him. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in, and I'll see you sometime on Friday as we recap episode one. So thanks a lot, everybody.